Genesis chapter number 5 this morning. Genesis chapter number 5. When you get your place, say amen. I appreciate the good singing. Amen. If you'll bear with us a couple weeks, we'll get through this, Lord willing. Appreciate those that'll help. Brother Wayne will be helping out with the music some. Some of y'all be ready to sing when he calls upon you. Amen. Miss Mary. Amen. Just be ready. Some of y'all, Hannah, some of y'all. Just be ready, and we appreciate it. You Sherrills and some of you, he'll call on you at different times. I trust that the Lord will bless. All right, I'll be back just as quick as I can get here. All right? Amen. Amen. All right. I love y'all. I want you to know that. I love you. I miss not being here. Last week about killed me. But I'm thankful for the Lord's goodness. Amen. Genesis chapter 5. If you're there, say amen. All right, the Bible said this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them. That's just a good principle right there to get you a nugget. Amen. God made them male and female. Amen. That's the way God made them because that's the way God planned them to be. That ain't what I'm preaching on, but that's good preaching. Amen. This unisex generation is a bunch of garbage out of hell. Amen. That ain't the medicine, that's God. Amen. Amen. All right. And he said, and he blessed them and called their name Adam in the day they were created. Verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, called his name Seth. In the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years, begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years, begat Mahalalel, and Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years, and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died. Jared lived 162 years and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God, and he begat, after he begat Methuselah, 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, the same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Lamech were 777 years and he died. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you'd take your word, and I pray you'd help us in the seriousness of the hour. I pray you'd help every individual to listen attentively. And may we hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. Speak to our hearts. I pray that you would put aside all the distractions. And I pray you'd help us to see the seriousness of this subject at hand. I pray, God, if there be anybody under the sound of my voice that's lost, though they may have been in church for years, though they may think they're all right, God, I pray that you know the deepest, darkest depths of our heart. And I pray you'd help us this morning. Speak to hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach on this thought for just a few minutes. Your days are numbered. Your days are numbered. The psalmist said in Psalm 90, verse 12, he said, so teach us, O Lord, to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. As we've read here in Genesis chapter 5, we've taken the time to read all but the very last verse. And as we've read through these 31 verses eight times, we have read the phrase, and he died. Verse 5, verse 8, verse 11, verse 14, verse 17, 20, verse 27, and verse 31. Eight times in 31 verses, and he died. And he died. And he died. I believe the Lord has put this here for us to see something that we take time to look at this morning, the truth that he died. When the Bible refers to these eight different men, there are five things that we learn in these passages. In the commentary of each one of their lives, there's five things we learn about each one of these men. We learn, first of all, each one of them's name. We read each one of them. The Bible told us each one of them's name. And in the account that's recorded, not only do we find out their name, but we find out his age at the birth of his first son. Then we also find out the length of his life after the birth of his first son. And then the Bible tells us his age at his death. And then the Bible go ahead and reiterates the fact that he died. That he died. You know, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. God had told Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter number 2 that they were not to take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, if you eat of it, he said, in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And they ate of it in Genesis chapter number 3, and they began to die. From that point on, the Bible said the wages of sin is death. The Bible said in Romans chapter number 5, verse number 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Ladies and gentlemen, the fact this morning is this, you're going to die. There's only one way out of death, and that's called the rapture of the church. If you're alive at the rapture, you won't have to go through the physical death. The Bible said we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. 1 Corinthians 15. That'd suit me just fine, but the fact is, if the Lord tarries his coming, every one of us, probably within the next 100 years, will go through the doorway of death. Are you listening? I'd venture to say in the next 150 years, I guarantee you, if the Lord tarries, we'll all be dead. Now this morning, I'm not trying to scare you, but I want to get you to stop and think with me this morning, whether you're saved or whether you're lost. Death is a certainty to us all. Whether you're young, whether you're old, we're all going to die. And if this is the last message that I'd ever preach, I'd want you to prepare to meet God. Are you listening? If I had but one message and I could warn you and I could have anything that I could tell you, I'd want to warn you and I'd want to say you need to prepare. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Now, I want you to ask yourself the question, are you ready when your days are up? If today was your day, if God called your name, if your number ticked the last day, God knows how many days you're going to live. I don't know. The Bible teaches us that our steps are numbered. That's why I don't like to jog. I ain't wasting no steps. Amen. Your days are numbered. Amen. Are you ready? Now listen, you can sit here this morning and you can put on front, and you can convince me. You can convince your husband or your wife. You can convince your mother, your father, your children. You can deceive us all. You may even, if you're not careful, you may even get to the point to where you tell yourself that you're ready enough that you begin to deceive yourself. But there's one that you'll never deceive. And that's the God of heaven. And the God of heaven knows whether you're ready or not. He knows if you've been saved. He knows if you've been born again. And if you're saved, He knows if you're living right and if you're faithful. And I want to look at a few truths this morning about this thought that your days are numbered. I got some statistics here concerning death. Every year across the world, there are 56 million deaths on average. Per month, that is... Excuse me, I think I read that wrong. Per month, that is, if I'm reading this right, there is 6 zeros behind this. Is that a billion or a million? Somebody help me. That's a million. 56 million. My eyes is playing tricks with me. Every month there is 4,679,452 deaths every month. Across the world. That's per day. Listen to me. Per day, that is 153,424.7. Let's get down here. Per hour. We've been here almost an hour. 6,392.7 people have passed into eternity on average in the time we've been in this building. Per minute. Count to 60. 106.6 people die every minute. Count to one. The time you counted to one, 1.8 people passed into everlasting eternity. That's just an average. The fact is, we're all going to die. These children in here one day is going to die. These older people, as we look at them, one day you're going to die. We don't like to talk about it many times. We don't like to dwell on the fact. Some people, you know, I'm not ready for that. Listen, I'm not asking you to have a death wish this morning, but I'm asking you this morning, is your heart right? And are you ready? Should it be your time? Death, one day, is going to come knocking on your door. And when death comes knocking, you won't avoid him. You see, the first thing I see about the fact that we're all going to die, I want you to think about the inclusiveness of death. The inclusiveness of death. That is that death includes us all. Death is no respecter of person. Listen, when death comes knocking, can I say we have read here in these passages and they were all of different ages. The oldest of them, Methuselah, was 969 years. He lived to be 969 years. Are you listening to me? Many of us, if we lived to be 109 years old, we think, oh, I'm never going to die. He lived to be 969 years, but he still was included in this thing called death. I have witnessed with my own eyes. I have seen older folk die. I have witnessed, listen, middle-aged folk die. I have witnessed the fact that babies die. Death includes us all. We all ages. It could happen. You say, well, I'm not going to die until I'm 80. Maybe. My dad died when he was 29. I had a good friend that died when he was 14. Are you listening? All ages. Just because you're young don't mean you're not going to die. Amen, brother. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Death includes all ages. Death includes all accomplishments. I could read down through this passage and read about all these different men and think about the things that they had accomplished in their life. Think about not only their accomplishment, but it includes their different avenues of life. I think about people that there are some that have acquired great wealth. There are some that, listen, are still poor maybe. There are some that have not done anything. They've sat around and wasted their life. There are others that have applied themselves to wisdom and to knowledge, and they have gained greatly in those areas, and they've done well for themselves, but all of them are going to die alike. There's not one of them that can avoid death. The Bible said over in Psalm, in chapter number 22 and verse 29, all they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. All that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. None can keep alive his own soul. Ecclesiastes chapter number 8, verse 8, Solomon, that wise man, wrote, and he said, "For there is no man that hath the power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death." Are you listening to me? You're not going to avoid death. Death will include you. Death includes us all ages, all accomplishments. It doesn't matter if you're a scientist. Doesn't matter if you invent the cure to AIDS or the cure to cancer. You're still going to die. I've known people that have conquered, or what we say, they whipped cancer. They were cured, or they made it through cancer. But sooner or later, they died of something else. You're going to die. I know it's not real encouraging this morning, but you need to stop and think about it from time to time. We all going to die. Death includes us all ages, all avenues of life, all accomplishments. Doesn't matter if you're 4, 14, or 400, you're going to die. Methuselah died. 900. Getting too excited. 69 years. I can't even count that high. But he died. You say, "Oh, I'm young. I'm in the prime of my life." Oh, I ain't even hit the prime of my life. Preacher, I don't have nothing to worry about yet. Only old people die. Pick up the newspaper sometime. Read the obituaries. Read the headlines where teenagers were killed in a car wreck this week. Innocent people killed on drive-by shootings. I've known people in their 20s drop dead of heart attacks. An old lady a couple years ago, she was on her way to work, perfectly healthy, mid-30s, I believe she was 37 if I recall, sneezed. Are you listening? She sneezed. And when she sneezed, it triggered something in her blood vessel, went to her vein, aneurysm kicked in. She never woke up. In a matter of days, they unplugged her and she went into eternity. Think about that the next time you sneeze. It could be the last time. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to get you to see reality. You're going to die. The inclusiveness of death. Think about the inconvenience of death. The inconvenience. You say, "Well, you say, Bruce, death is not going to call you and tell you, hey, this is your day." Death. Hey, listen, you didn't get a card the day you was born and say you got until such and such date. Then you can get ready. No, death is not the most convenient person that ever knocked on your door. Death will come when death is good and ready to come, when God says come. Death is no respecter of your title. Doesn't matter if you're a pauper or a president. Doesn't matter if you're a pimp or a preacher. Are you listening to me? Death's no respecter of your title. You say, "Well, I know he's a doctor and he's this and that." No. Death's no respecter of your title. Death is no respecter of time. You say, "Well, I got to live to see my grandyoungins and I got to watch them grow up and graduate." You might, if the Lord graces you that privilege. But if the Lord so calls, you might not. Death is no respecter of your title nor your time. I've known people, matter of fact, most of the people that I've known that have died
have died what we would call, in our mind, what we would call premature death. In other words, they wasn't planning on dying. They got up and went to work. I hate to be personal, but my dad, it was my sister's birthday. He got up, went to work, had every intention to come home and have a birthday party. But he's in an accident and never came home. He went to glory before the night was over. Don't feel sorry for me. I know where he's at, and I'm going to see him real soon. Listen, but you better be ready, because it could be you. It could be you. I mean, I've known people that, walked out the door. There's a lady that they tell me used to attend this church. I believe if I'm right, she used to play the piano. Am I right? You used to play the piano. I don't know her, but people here knew her. She's sitting in her own house minding her own business. Somebody riding down the road fires a gun into her house and kills her. Are you listening? It can happen. You say, I ain't going to make nobody mad. You don't have to. It's appointed unto men once to die. 8 times in 31 verses, and he died. 9 people's brought up. 8 of them died. I'm talking about the inconvenience of death. You can have all the plans in the world. You can have all your agenda. You can have, you can have your 401k, and you can have you can have it all laid out, and you say, well, when I hit 62 or 63, I'm going to retire, and then I'm going to travel, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there. If the Lord will, you might. I've known many people that live to be retirement age. Jake, this is always baffled to me. I've known men that worked all their life, and they got 62, saved up a lot of money, and they was able to live well. They retired, and in less than 2 years, they was dead. Worked all their life to enjoy what they had left, and what they had left was just dropping the bucket. You better be ready. You need to be ready. No matter who you are, what you've got, and what your plans are, we don't always know when. We don't always know how. But we do know that old man death, he's coming. He's just around the bend. I want to talk about the inability of death. You say, what are you talking about, the inability of death? You said, preacher, that I can't escape death. You said, preacher, that it's coming on all of us. You said that it doesn't matter who we are. What are you talking about, the inability of death? I'm saying this, there are a couple things that death is unable to do. As I've looked in this passage, I told you, 8 out of 9 of these men died. What about the 9th one? If you used to look in verse 21 through 24, you'll find the account of a man named Enoch. Enoch shows me a truth. He shows me a picture. He is a type of the church of Jesus Christ. And as I look at Enoch's life, the Bible said that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That idea of God taking him, it means God snatched him up and took him out of this world. Enoch never saw physical death. He is a picture of what the Bible says is going to happen one day to the church. Amen. The Bible talks about there's going to be a shout. It's going to be a trumpet. Amen. And we which are alive, he said, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And over in 1 Thessalonians 4, he said, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They've got 6 feet further to go. And he said, and then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. You say, when's that going to happen? I don't know, but it's going to happen. Just sure as the Bible says it's going to happen. Called up, snatched away violently, taken by force. That's a picture of what's going to happen to the church. There's the truth this morning that death is unable to hurt the rapture. It's unable to hurt the rapture. Brother Robbie, there are some that's going to go by the way of the grave. My dad's went by the grave. There's people here in this church that Miss Carrie, just a few weeks ago, we buried the body of Miss Carrie. And one day, listen, when the Lord returns in the clouds and calls us, Miss Carrie's coming up out of the grave. Amen? But there are some who may remain.
And if the Lord should come back before we die and we remain, we'll never taste death. We'll say, "O death, where is thy victory? O grave, where is thy sting?" See, some of us will have to go through the grave, but some of us won't. Some of us never have to taste death. You say, how? Because we've been raptured. 1 Corinthians 15, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death is unable to hurt the raptured. Death is unable to hold the redeemed. There are some who have been saved, and they have tasted of death, and they are in the grave. Their body's in the grave right now. Those that I've mentioned already, some of them, listen, they are in the grave. If we die before the rapture, we're going to the grave. But I got news for you, friend. Hey, ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna get up. I'm gonna get up. I'm gonna get up out the ground, because there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Meet me, Jesus, meet me. Meet me in the middle of the air. Don't get too excited about it. Hey, I'm not scared to die. I'm not scared of it. Lady in the doctor's office last week, she said, "Preacher, the worst thing that could happen to you is you die in this operation." I said, "Good neighbor, hey, let me tell you something, lady." I said, "The worst thing that happened to me is not that I die." I said, "I'm ready." Amen. I said, "I ain't got no death wishes. I don't want you to kill me. But if I die, don't worry. Hey, don't you cry for me. Hey, man. Yeah, man. Hey, man. When you lay my body in the cold, cold ground, hey, you don't have to cry for me. Hey, man. Right. One of these days, I'm coming up out there. Right. Yeah, man. Say, man. What I say, man. I'm enjoying this, amen. One of these days, if you're redeemed, if you've been saved, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, oh grave, where's thy victory? Oh death, where is thy sting? Hey, thank be to God. Hey, thanks be to God that give us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. No, Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you.
Right.
Amen. Just as sure as God picked up Jesus and Jesus raised up out the ground, amen, by Jesus, he's one day going to pick me up out the ground.
Amen.
You say, "What are you saying, preacher?" I'm saying, just listen, we're all going to die, but you can be ready. You can face death with a grin on your face. Amen. You don't have to be scared to die. "When they lay my body in the cold, cold ground, you don't have to weep for me. Don't sing me no sad song, because nothing can hold me here. I'm headed home. Oh, nothing can hold me here. I'm headed home. Heavenly gates are near. It won't be long till I'm walking on streets of singing around the throne. Nothing can hold me here. I'm headed home."
Amen.
We're saying, preacher, I'm saying, if you're here this morning and you're not ready, and this talk about dying has kind of upset you, and you said, "Preacher, I don't know if I'm ready," I got good news for you. You can be ready. You can be ready, and you can face death with a smile on your face, and I'll tell you why. Because 2,000 years ago, a man named Jesus,
amen,
who was the God-man in flesh, he came to this earth, and he went to an old rugged cross, and he bore my sin.
And he his own self bore our sin on the tree. He took my sin. He became my sin. And he went to Calvary. And he died a bloody death. And he gave his life. And he shed his blood.
Hallelujah.
And he died for my sin. And your sin.
Amen.
And your sin. And he's the propitiation this morning for our sins. And not for ours only. But also for the sins of the whole world. Not only did he die, but I got good news for you. He was in the ground one day and a night, and the second day and a night, and the third day and a night, and after 3 nights and 3 days, up from the grave he arose.
Amen.
And he's alive today.
Amen.
You say, what's he doing? He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me and you.
Right.
And his blood's on the mercy seat. His blood's on the mercy seat. That's not just typical, that's factual. His blood is on the mercy seat in heaven. And when a sinner cries out in repentance and faith and says, God, save me, be merciful to me, a sinner, the blood that's on the mercy seat is able to wash their sins away.
Hallelujah.
And you too can be ready. I got news for you. If you die without knowing him, it's not a pretty picture the Bible paints for you. If you die without knowing Christ, if you die without the blood of the Lord Jesus applied to your account, the Bible said the wages of sin is death, and then in Revelation the Bible talked about the second death, which is the lake of fire. If you're not saved this morning, I'm not asking you if you've been to church. I'm not even asking you if you've said a little sinner's prayer. That sinner's prayer ain't saved nobody. It's a condition of your heart. Is your heart in faith and repentance? Have you confessed out the Lord Jesus Christ? Confessed your sins, repented your sins, and received Jesus Christ by faith in what he did at Calvary? Have you received it by faith for you? If you hadn't, friend, I beg you. If you hadn't, friend, I beg you. Come down here to this altar this morning. And in mercy and in grace, God will save you. You'll ask him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
And then let me throw this in. If you're a Christian and you know you're saved, but you're not right with God, maybe you've got bitterness. Maybe you've got aught against a brother or sister. Maybe you've been unfaithful. Maybe you've been outright in sin. Maybe you're not where you ought to be with God. You're not ready. 1 John 2:28 talks about how you better abide in him. So that when he shall appear, we may stand before him and have confidence, not be ashamed at his coming. There'll be some that are saved, Brother Robbie, but when the Lord Jesus comes, they'll be ashamed. Oh, they'll be there, but like 1 Corinthians 3, Brother Joe, they'll be there, yet so is by fire. They'll lose all their rewards. They'll get there, what I like to say it like this, by the skin of their teeth. They'll get there, but they'll lose it, all their rewards. And they'll be ashamed that it's coming. I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready. I want you to be saved and ready to go. And if you're a Christian, I want you to be ready. And I want you to have confidence before him at his appearing. I want you to receive those rewards. I want you to be ready. Your days are numbered. If your number was called today, Father, I pray you take these thoughts. God, you know the hearts. You know the soul's condition of every man, woman, boys, and girl. And I pray, God, you'd use your word to speak to our hearts. If there be anybody here this morning that's lost, and there's a very well possibility of that, Lord, I pray that you'd help them to see that, listen, just some profession is not going to get them in. They've got to have a possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've got to receive him. I pray you'd help them to get that matter taken care of today. And then I pray for Christians to get right and to prepare to meet you. God, I pray you take this time of invitation and use it. Your glory. Have your will and way. Well, thank you for
all you do in Jesus' name.